Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Hot D, the officially unofficial podcast for House of the Dragon on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
I think I got to start saying Max now. House of the Dragon on Max. We're back mid-season here, or mid-off-season, to do an update because a couple of big things just dropped. Two big trailers. They're decent-sized trailers, I got to say, and they really paint a picture of what season two is going to be all about. I feel like this is Condal threading a needle here. He's trying to keep his options open, not declare fealty to either side by making both a green trailer and a black trailer and labeling them as such. And they're really playing into the fandom's rivalry between green and black. I like it.
Pretty smart. It's powerful emotions to tap into. Rivalry, hatred, yeah. Vengeance. It's funny because when they put me in a real pickle, because I obviously wanted to share this on social media, but they had two trailers, green and black. And I'm like, well, I'm the Leela's servant in the realm. I don't want to show favoritism. So I grabbed the legendary Coin of Doom that we used to resolve disputes here at Bald Move, and I flipped it. And Team Black won, so I shared that trailer. And now I was chagrined to find out that shortly later they kind of released a combined trailer. That had both the black and the green stuff kind of interleaved into more of a cohesive trailer. So I could have waited a couple hours and not risk the green's wrath. But, you know, sometimes fate is partial. What can I say?
Yeah.
And I know Maester Anthony got his takeout last week, but we thought, you know, it's we were thinking about it. It's about time to give an update anyway. And you got a new trailer to talk about. We also got a date, June 16th.
Yes,
it's no longer sometime in the summer. It's no longer 2024. It's no longer even June 20. It's June 16th, middle of the month, that Sunday. And as far as our coverage plans, we didn't see nothing wrong with last year's coverage. We're essentially running it back. We're going to have an instant take reaction show that will be available for everybody right after the podcast is done recorded, right after the episode airs. And then it'll also be paired with an instant talk podcast. That's exclusively for club members, and also they will be able to see us record the instant take live. So if you want to get the freshest opinions from the people you trust here at Bald Move, me and Jim, King Jim Harris, then you want to be a club member. support.baldmove.com. And also, if you're a club member and you're participating, watching us record live, you can throw in your own questions, your comments, your theories, etc., for us to consider. So
yeah, that's getting real close, man. Less than two months away.
Right?
Yeah, it's three. I'm getting excited. I'm jumping the gun.
But yeah, so we're instant podcast Sunday night, full podcast, scene by scene breakdown on Tuesday, and then a feedback episode Thursday. So we'll have three whacks at the House of the Dragon apple. And it's a little unfortunate that we're getting a little less House of the Dragon this year for probably pacing and budgetary reasons. They're only doing 8 episodes instead of the usual 10. So they're stiffing us 10% of the House of the Dragon. But on the flip side, you're getting 300% more podcasts as over and above the Bald Move usual. So yeah,
we should take a note from the trailers, and we should do the green podcast and the black podcast solo. I'll do one. You do one.
All right.
And we can see who listens to more. See what the realm supports.
We'd have to get the Coin of Doom out to see who does what, though, because I think I know your part. I think you're got some partiality, O-King.
Oh, you're claiming you don't? We'll see.
No. I just try to understand both
that
sides of the
position.
No, my lord. I have no.
I'm solely
The realist realist. Yeah, so June 16th, make a note of that. Also, the week before, we'll have our full-on preview podcast where, we'll be talking about what we know of the season so far, where we were last time, where the characters are at, all that kind of stuff. So, but this is all about new stuff. We're going to be talking about the two trailers, well, essentially the one trailer. Like I said, you can watch them both kind of interleaved now. The casting news. I have to say that discussing trailers puts me in a pickle because I now know within a shadow of a doubt exactly how much material they're going to cover. I know who's on what dragon. I know why this guy's doing this. I know who's getting their head chopped off. Who's got, it's tough. It's tough because, I imagine a lot of people that have read Fire and Blood, which I don't think there's a lot, would probably be into that type of coverage. But the vast majority of people are not readers, and I want to preserve all the surprises. So, how do we talk about this?
Well, the things that I like about the trailers, they're just good trailers. They get you hyped for the war, right? Mm-hmm. That's first and foremost. But the promising thing that I see the change from season one is it seems like it's opening up a little bit in terms of scope. See a Stark up at the wall at one point.
Yep.
Or someone I assume is a Stark. He's in a big furry cloak.
I was going to dispute this stuff. Mildly interesting, whatever. It's the wall for sure.
He's at the wall. That's exciting to go to that location. You see perhaps some other castles that we weren't privy to in season one, or maybe were talked about, and I think I have ideas about what those castles are. I read an interview with Condal, and he kind of lays it out as to locations that we're going to see, which I'm excited for that because I really love season one, but I do want to get everybody. I want to get the entire realm involved in this fight. And so the fact that we're starting to see that in season two is exciting.
And we know that the two boys were dispatched as envoys to get the support for their mother. We know that what happened to Luke, Lucerys, but Jacerys, he was over there, among other things, visiting the Vale of Arryn, the Eyrie, probably visit that. Obvious shots of Harrenhal. That's currently held by the Strongs. We're going to be spending some time there. We mentioned being up north for the first time. We'll probably get to meet some Starks, hopefully. We'll be to see at the wall. And not all, every time you see the wall, that is that recalls to mind the stakes here. Because last season, they used the prophecy that they connected it all the way back to Aegon the Conqueror and the Valyrian steel knife. Like, this is the thing that the thread that ties all these Game of Thrones projects together. The preoccupation with the White Walkers, the Long Night, Azor Ahai, the prince that was promised. So I'm assuming that there's going to be some lip service paid to that too, to keep that thematic cohesion.
In Game of Thrones, is it Maester Aemon who's the Maester up at the wall?
Yes.
Is he old enough to still have been at the wall at this point? I don't know exactly how old he is.
If we make it to
be very old, but
if we make it to a Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, the Duncan Egg, the follow-on, the sequel, prequel, whatever, that HBO has talked about, we probably will meet Aemon at that point.
Gotcha.
As a young man. But yeah, he's older.
Sure.
Shit.
He was really old.
He'd be 200 years old in Game of Thrones instead of 100, pushing 100.
You never know.
Yeah.
Melisandre was pretty old.
He's old as shit. Yep. He's old as shit.
The interesting thing to me, I guess I broke this down into a couple of different sections for each trailer, right? The black trailer, the green trailer. You get to see a lot of new characters in the black trailer in particular. Like I said, those Starks, and there's this guy that I come to understand is a guy named Gawain Hightower, which is a real pet peeve name of mine. I hate the name Gawain. But
I like
he's
this actor, Freddie Fox,
character.
Though. He was in he played opposite Nicholas Holt's Peter the Great in The Great, and he was so entertaining. Both of those guys are the most entertaining part of that show.
Nice.
I don't know if he's going to have that energy. I don't expect that from the Eldest Hightower, but I liked him in that more comedic role. I'm curious to see me take him seriously.
The thing that interests me about this guy is, from what I understand, he's sort of like outside looking in on this whole war that's brewing, right? On the whole scenario. So it's going to be interesting to see what an outsider coming in and checking out, you did what? Otto did what? Rhaenyra did what?
Right.
To kind of get a fresh perspective on this, because we got so lost in the weeds of, you know, Otto's machinations and misunderstandings and stuff last season, that this is going to be a fresh eye, a little bit of a fresh eye on this, and I'm excited for that.
But don't forget, he's not only Otto's son, he's also Queen Alicent's brother, so he's got a pretty vested interest in what's going on in the capital.
I know. And then you've got, you know, Rhaenys sort of describing the loss of reason in the face of this war, which I thought, kind of sums it up, right? At some point, it stops being about who is the rightful heir, and it starts being more about either revenge or just pride at some point, or ambition. Yeah, and all those things, I think, are tied into this.
Yeah, I thought that it's interesting that there's the beginning of the Black trailer is the kind of backdrop is obviously, well, I don't know if it's obvious, but I'm pretty sure it's Lucerys's funeral. You know, this is they're all mourning. I don't know what they're burning on the pyre. Looks like maybe it just might just be his like baby blanket or something, maybe a crown or something. That because I can't imagine they recovered his body, but maybe it did wash up on the shore. And you know, just from reiterating Rhaenyra's position, which is my dad wanted me to heir to be the heir as the eldest, and I've got some fucking usurper. I've had this thing stolen, and I'm going, I mean to fight and win this war. And they have kind of Daemon looking like, yeah, I'm ready.
Oh my God, Daemon. I don't know that you want to send Daemon as your envoy to rally support. His line here where he's like, our pitch is clear. It's either you pledge your allegiance to Rhaenyra or your house burns.
Yep. I got this.
There's
dragon,
no negotiating.
Got this noodle neck dragon ready to burn your castle down. Also, did you notice Corlys has got a little shiny new bauble he's wearing on his coat?
Oh, I didn't notice this.
Got the pin of the hand of the queen.
Okay, nice.
So he's at some point in this season looks like he's going to take a promotion. I thought that was an interest. That's neat to be able to confirm.
Which really feels Daemon, more like Rhaenys is the one with the pin of the hand of the queen. Like if
he's the hand of the queen, but she has her hand wrapped around the hand's balls.
Totally.
So who's really? Yeah, I don't know. I thought, speaking of Daemon, how does his armor look even cooler? Like, I think they've done a subtle redesign with some like dragon wings over the pauldrons now, and it just looks just a little bit more, just a little cooler.
Does the helmet not look as goofy as it did?
I think last year they had two versions of his helmet. They had the tourney helmet, which is like the big elaborate that had the like the 3D dragon, and then there's a more toned down one that he wore to war.
Okay.
And it looks like it's kind of that, and maybe it's the same armor, I thought it's like there's a couple of touches on the pauldrons and the chest piece that just makes it look a little bit even cooler, you know?
Yeah, they'll refine the design as we go.
And then also I thought it was interesting that Rhaenyra kind of closes the trailer saying, I fear what I've become. You know?
Become or begun? I couldn't tell.
Oh, could be either.
I read it as begun.
Could be either. I don't know why. I usually watch subtitles with everything for this very reason, but I didn't. I was just, you know, doing my notes for the preview podcast. So I could, either way, it shows that there is, at least on Team Black, some buyer's remorse for what they've gotten into. Like, she opens up, like, I'm going to win and I'm on a fight and I intend to win this war, but then interfering what she's begun. But so far, she's been the one that lost the most in the opening stages of the war. So we'll see how we join her in season two. Shall we move on to the greener pastures?
Absolutely.
This opens with Alicent kind of like being mournful, saying that just a week or two ago, my husband is alive. The realm is at peace. And I didn't want this, but on his deathbed, he knew the realm wouldn't accept a queen. And we know that this is all a misunderstanding.
Yes.
But I think it's super cool and interesting that they made it pretty clear that I don't think Allison intended to. I think she is doing what she honestly thinks her husband wanted.
There's still lots of hot D to talk about. We'll be back right after the break.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of Apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and ball move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of bald movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, if Very Special isn't your speed, we've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd. And now, back to Hot D.
She's got some motivated reasoning there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think she started this whole thing out of fear in general. It was,
yeah.
Like, Otto frames this as a battle of vengeance. And I'm like, dude, you are completely recontextualizing, retconning
yes.
everything. Because it's really Otto, Allison who started it because she was scared.
And you made her that way. You're the one that stoked all these fears.
Uh-huh.
Now, again, I think we talked a lot about this. I think Otto was being pretty leal. He was saying what a lot of people in the realm are thinking. He's probably, you know, but like I think also, you know, that's my only problem. Like, what if he spent the time prepping Allison for treachery into bucking up the realm, getting them ready to accept, you know, the truth of Rhaenyra being the queen?
Yeah.
But yeah, he like if there's a bastard here, it's certainly Otto Hightower.
Yeah.
Not in the sense of, you know, snow or stone or sand, but in the sense of just being a real bad. Yeah. Cross grained bastard, you know.
And, you know, now he's right. Like, this is a battle of vengeance to some degree, because, I mean, look what happened to Luke. Right. There's a lot of bad blood tied up in this now.
There's also a very apparent, like, I think propaganda war that we saw that them, you know, it was very important for them to see Aegon with the sword, with the crown, on the throne, and we see, you know, him very visibly sitting the Iron Throne. Wonder if it cuts him. There's also scenes of like a procession through the city where the people are throwing flowers. They're keeping up the appearances. They are winning the public perception that we are the they're at least trying to. We are the legitimate family. You hate Rhaenyra anyway. She's a woman. What do you want? You know, we got the king. He's blonde. He's a Targaryen. He's on the throne. They're winning this propaganda war as the blacks are gearing up to like secure their military power.
And Aegon seems like he's out to prove his right to the throne with violence. He's welcoming that.
Does he strike you as one of them sweet summer childs? Like, he's never really been in war. He's not even been a dragon rider for that many years. And he's just quick to, like, I'm going to repay treachery 100-fold. I'm as fierce as any of the ones on... That's like, you are not even the fiercest person in your family. Much less, like, you know, I mean, Aemon would probably do it without fear, but like, there's no, if Aegon was across the battlefield from Daemon, that his dragon Sunfire would have a wet back.
Yeah, if this was
even extra yellow dragon when he's sitting on there across from Daemon.
No, if it's Aemon saying these things, I'm like, yeah, no, I believe you. You seem the type, but Aegon, yeah, has never quite seemed the type. And, you know, this is forced upon him. He's thrust into this role. He didn't really want it. And now he seems like he's trying to adopt the persona he thinks he needs for this battle.
Yeah, he's like Joffrey, except for he knows who's going to be a shit king and tried, like, I just, look at me. I just kind of want to goof off and whore around and pick on my brothers and cousins. And Allison essentially shamed him into it, pressured him into it. I do wonder what would have happened if he had abdicated the throne and like Aemon takes over.
Oh,
that
would
be a whole other dance.
Speaking of Aemon dancing, they are really teasing the Aemon Daemon show off hard in this trailer. Getting us hype.
I tell you what, I think this came out right after the season ended, but there was this amazing trailer where they set like a highlight reel of Aemon versus Daemon to Marshall Mathers, the real Slim Shady.
Okay.
And I almost can't take Aemon seriously because there's so many scenes of Aemon trying to ape Daemon last season and set it to that song where they're back to back to back where you just see this kid like copying his older brother's homework. I feel like, yeah, like what's your take on Daemon versus Aemon? Do you think Aemon has a prayer?
It depends on when it happens, I guess, because I think Aemon is growing. Aemon is, he's coming into his own both as a warrior and just a
all right.
A
I'll get.
Boy
I'll let
to
me
a
spot
man.
You. He gets a year of battle experience. Do you think he can take Daemon?
My gut still says no, but it also depends on Daemon's condition. Like, he's getting older, right? He's going through a lot of battles. How does he come out of those? I could see a scenario, certainly, where he takes him.
And the big question mark is, you know, Aemon sitting on Vhagar, the biggest, baddest dragon in the world. And
doesn't feel like a fair fight.
It also has not nearly as control over the beast as, Daemon's got on his danger noodle there. So...
it's juicy, man. It's juicy, and I want to bite into it.
As a non-reader, Jim, do you think we're going to see the showdown this season? Or is that something they're going to push?
I could see them pushing it again.
Yeah. I will say that now that all the trailers and kind of got... I definitely... There's no way they're going to... This is not going to be the final season. We're going to get at least maybe two more with the pace they're going. But nice. Yeah, is that something they shoot through in the first season or second season? Or
I don't know. I mean, teasing it in this trailer makes me think that it is going to happen this season, but it's such a huge thing, at least in the fans' eyes, that you'd want to put it off for a while longer.
And you never know, like, because George does wild shit. He's the dude that cut Jaime Lannister's hand off halfway through the series, you know? Like, halfway through the third book. Like, here's your baddest knight in the kingdom. woof, there goes the sword hand. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's also a couple of really interesting things. Like I took note of all the scorpions and trebuchets being built on the walls of the city. We know how deadly those can be to dragons from our experience with Game of Thrones. There's a brief scene of someone's got a knife to Queen Helena's neck. That's Aegon's wife. You wonder if that's like, you know, inter-house treachery. Is that someone caught her unawares? Sir Christian Cole, also the hand of the king, is the several scenes of him leading troops and men, leading them into battle.
Do we see the, what was it, Lannister twins? Do we see those two guys?
I don't know that we saw the, I forget the name of the, yeah, I know who you're talking about. The Chris Hemsworth looking dudes.
I don't know. Wasn't one of them Jason? Trailers.
Maybe not. I wasn't looking for them to be honest. I did see a really intriguing scene where there is, you know, they introduced us briefly last year to this ancient rivalry between the Brackens and the Blackwoods, and there's a scene of four or five Brackens confronting a lone Blackwood soldier, which is kind of like the dance in a microcosm. And then there's Alicent despairing that her life of service to the realm and the family, and none of it seems to matter. And she's sinking into a tub over her head. And then Christian Cole, the opposite, trying to encourage his men to have courage for the one true king. There's going to be a lot more battles, obviously. Like the trailer is really battle heavy.
They said, Ryan Condal said they filmed two battles that are bigger than anything they've done to date in House of the Dragon. Maybe not in Game of Thrones, but
I was gonna say, wow, I don't know about that. That's a big
that might be puffing himself up a little. But no, in House of the Dragon, it'll be two of the biggest battles you've seen. So that's exciting.
I think I saw this guy in the trailer. This was the last time we had an update, which has been months ago. It was back in 2023. We talked about Abu Bakar Salim. Being Sir Alan of Hull. If you don't know who that guy is and you're an HBO fan, you might recognize him as the father robot from Raised by Wolves.
Yes.
And he's described as a sailor in the Valyrian fleet who served in the Stepstones campaigns. He's going to be one of Corlys's guys, and I think he's got an exciting role to play, which you can't tell much more about. He's a great actor. We already talked about Freddie Fox is going to be... Gawain Hightower, but the other news that I don't even think was rumored last time was Simon Russell Beale. Russell Beale as Simon Strong. He actually has previously shared the screen with Olivia Cooke, who's Alicent Hightower in Vanity Fair. But he is, you know, he's a Strong. There's been a lot of recent deaths in the Strong family, which has left him Lord of the cursed yet very formidable Harrenhal. He's also the great uncle to Laris Strong, the cunning foot fetishist responsible for all the deaths in those family. I'm very curious to see what they, what becomes of Laris Strong and the Strong family.
Yeah, he always felt like he was a little edgier than the queen wanted him to be, queen regent wanted him to be, and it's like. Is he going to make it out of this with his head? I don't know.
He's a pusher. He's a pusher. He's a taker. Limit presser. Creepy weirdo.
Yeah.
We'll see. You know, again, it's not the thing for his feet necessarily that makes him a creepy weirdo. It's the boundary pushing. The revel in the discomfort.
I think this is why I'm Team Black. There's just too many creepy weirdos over on Team Green. I mean, you got Damon.
I was gonna say he's a big creepy weirdo. Black,
but name me another creepy weirdo.
And he's cool. Black's he's a cool fun. Creepy weirdo.
He's kind of a cool creepy weirdo. The rest on Green are just—they're all creeps. I don't like any of them.
Oh my lord, we're all creepy. We got anything else we want to talk about?
I don't think so, man. Like I said, few months away, less than three, and I'm getting hyped already.
Yeah, this might be the last time we take over the feed from Maester Anthony until we get again the week before we'll have our fabulous season 2 preview. Don't forget, you can send in feedback if you got any. Want us to, if we missed something, you want us to talk about, hotd@baldmove.com. And if you want to get in early, for the club, support.baldmove.com. Also, I tell you what, if you're a Game of Thrones fan and you are not watching FX Hulu Shogun, you are doing yourself a disservice, baby, because that is medieval Japan Shogun. Or, I mean, sorry, Game of Thrones. It's so good. It is so good. It's right up your alley. Unless you're really turned off by subtitles, because there's a lot of subtitles. Unless you want to do and watch the dub. Unless you want to be just a real Philistine and watch the dub. But it's a lot of subtitles, but it's super rewarding. We're covering that right now, week by week. We just had, you know, if you're a club member, we just had coverage of Three Body Problem on Netflix, which... You know, I don't like the double D's. The double D's kind of did us a little dirty with Game of Thrones, but I don't think they've forgotten how to adapt really good fiction. And Three Body Problem is finished. It was a great first season. Me and Jim have full coverage of that on the club. And if you want to be a member of the fantastic, fabulous Instant Talk Gang on Sunday nights with me and Jim, you got to be a club member. Support.baldmove.com. That's it for this episode. We're going to flip the microphone back to Anthony and Steve. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in a couple months. Very excited for House of Dragon to come back. We'll see you then. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
Later, everybody.